I sat on my backpack behind the hedge where the old man couldn't see me and watched the slowness of the river and him. Not even the river itself knew it was a river anymore, wide and brown with a few plastic bags sitting in the reeds. It no longer made a noise at its curves. A piece of styrofoam was wrapped around one of the footbridge poles. Some oil boated lazily on the surface, throwing colors in the afternoon sun. Yet still, the old man was fishing away. The line rolled out, catching the light, and the fly landed softly. He flicked it around with his wrist for a minute, slumped his head when he finished each cast, reeled in the slack, and rubbed at his forearm. After a while, he went and sat in a red and white striped lawn chair under the branches of the old poplar tree. He turned his head in the direction of the hedge, didn't see me. Leaning backwards in the chair, he started fiddling with the fly on the end of the line, put the hook and feathers in his mouth, blew on them, trying to fluff out the dressing. His overcoat hung in an anarchy around him, and his trousers rode up past the ankles of his green Wellingtons. When he stood up to take the coat off, I was shocked to see the lineament of his body, as thin as the reeds I used to make holy crosses with during February winters. The afternoon wore on, and he left the cork handle propped in lazily at his crotch, leaned down and spat on the ground, wiped some dribble off the bottom of his chin. Every now and then he tipped his hat upwards to the swifts that scissored in the sky, then stared at the line lying in the water amongst the rubbish. A long time ago, back in the 70s, before the meat factory came, he would bring me down in the morning and make me swim in the fast water against the flow. He was a good swimmer, a strong body on him, powerful shoulders, the neck of a bull. Even in winter, he'd climb into the water in his red togs, plow away, his arms making windmill motions, wisps of wet hair stuck to his balding scalp. The current was strong enough to keep him stationary. Sometimes he could stay in one spot for an hour or two, just swimming. He let out big shouts while my mother stood on the riverbank and watched. She was dark-skinned, almost bog-colored, like the land. Blue work gloves that migrated to her elbows, bags under her eyes. She would stand and watch, sometimes waving, every now and then fumbling with the colorful flag of elastics that kept her silver hair together. I stayed in the river by hanging onto the roots of the poplars. 7 years old, I could feel the tug in my armpits, the water skimming over my face, my body sweeping away. The old man kept moving his arms against the current. When he'd had enough, he let himself be swept a little stretch downstream to the riverbank curve. I'd let go of the root and be carried along after him. He'd reach down, catch me, drag me out by the waistband of my togs. We'd dress, shiver together on the muddy bank, my mother calling us up for breakfast. The old man would give a nod to the river. It was the law of water, he told me. It was bound to move things on. But watching him this afternoon, I thought that if he tried swimming nowadays, he'd just float around like all that shit and rubbish in the weeds. When evening fell, the eastern sky was the color of nicotine, merging into red in the west. A few thin clouds slashed along through it. He took out his cigarettes, tapping the bottom end of the box with his palm, opening the lid, flipping it upwards with his thumb, a studied patience in the movement. Reaching into his overcoat pocket, he got some long kitchen matches. Even from a distance, I could see that his hands were trembling. And he lit two matches before the cigarette took. He blew the smoke up to the swifts, lifted the rod again, ran his hands lovingly along the glass pole, flicked it back for one last cast. A pileup of line hit the water, noisily. The river skipped. It was an instant of concurrency. The sunlight caught the droplets and colored them as they rose, and it struck me then that the old man and the water are together in all of this. They have lived out their lives disguised as one another, the river and him, once wild with movement, churning new ways, violently ripping along, now moving slowly down towards some final, unalterable sea.